You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
Good morning. So we're in this series called Money Talks, because culture tells us that if you have money, you've got power. If you have got money, you've got influence. If you've got money, you get things done, right? That's what culture tells us. And that leads to us that to living a life where we want more, right? More money means you have more than enough. And having enough is always beyond the horizon, right? We looked at that last week. Somehow, we always think we need a little bit more to be okay. If you have just a little bit more, then we'll have enough. And it's always beyond reach. It's always beyond the horizon. And many of us kind of show off our stuff, right? Look at my car. Look at my clothes. Have you seen these shoes? Right? And some of us, we do it all in a different way. Some of us just like the plastic Gucci on everything we're wearing. Others are more subtle about it, right? Wearing the type of clothes and the type of brands that only people of a similar status and income will recognize. And we all kind of communicate with our stuff, right? Money talks. And we're bombarded by messages every day, advertisements telling us that we really ought to want what they're selling, right? Influencers on social media are telling us how to get rich fast. And they show us all the stuff they have and all their wealth they have. And they say, it could be yours if you just do what I say. And advertisements about a car or a watch or perfume or whatever aren't really about transportation or about telling the time or about, smelling nice. It's really about if you buy this thing, you belong to a certain class of people. It forms your identity, right? We like to show off our stuff. Now, I recently read a quote that said, "Spending money to show people how much money you have is the fastest way to have less money," right? That makes sense. And Jesus has such a different perspective. Yes, money talks, but what should it be saying? There's no such thing as your spiritual life and the rest of your life. We looked at that last week. All your life is spiritual. All your life should be touched by the gospel. All our lives belong to Jesus. There's nothing that Jesus doesn't have a say over. When we became a Christian, we promised Jesus to say and said, "Hey, here's my life. All my life is yours. All of it." So we want to be his disciples. We want to learn from Jesus. But there's still things in this world, forces at work in this world that wants to draw us away from God, that tell us that God really can't be trusted. But Jesus says, "No, trust me." Jesus is asking for our hearts. And if there's anything more important in our lives than God, then we're in a dangerous place. So we need to examine our hearts. And so last week, we asked ourselves, if I can't trust Jesus with my money, do I trust him at all? And we looked at the story of the rich young ruler. Jesus told him to give away everything he owned and give to the poor, and then come and follow Jesus. And Jesus looked at the man, and he loved him, it said. This man tried so hard to be good. He tried to follow all the commandments. Yet the most important thing in his life was not to love God. There was something more important: his wealth, his possessions, the status that came with it. And the young man had created an idol out of it, placing it above God, placing his trust and all that. His heart wasn't in the right place. And we looked at that. Getting your heart in the right place starts with spending time with Jesus, to realize that Jesus loves us. Because I remember that Jesus looked at the man and he loved him. And it was so obvious to the people around him. He knew his heart, and yet he loved him. But the man looked away, and the man walked away. And I challenge you to examine your heart this week, to not break the gaze, to keep looking Jesus in the eye, to keep seeing the love that Jesus has in his eyes, to not break the gaze, even if he tells you things that are hard to hear. But to trust him that he knows best and he wants the best for you. He wants and he desires our complete trust. The trust a little child has in his parents. That type of trust. And it's only when we spend time with Jesus, realizing his love for us, that we start to become like him. And so this week we'll look at how to redirect your heart, right? How to get it in the right place. In Matthew 6, is the most famous sermon Jesus ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. Not the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what he had to say. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wow. So last week we saw that our hearts can be in the wrong place, right? That it can be set on other things than God, that it can be set on your wealth, on your money. And Jesus says that you can redirect your heart. Jesus says your heart will follow your spending. Now that's revolutionary. It might not seem so at first glance, but think about it. You buy something, it degrades, right? Over time, it breaks down, it gets worse. Moth and rust destroy. But we're all trying to get ahead. We're all trying to get a little bit richer. We're all trying to accumulate possessions. And Jesus says, I'm going to challenge that. Or at least I'm going to challenge how you think about that. He said, instead, store up your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Because he said, where your treasure is, there your heart, there the desires of your heart will be. And that's a radical teaching. Because the culture around us says, your money follows your heart, right? In other words, where your heart is, there your money will follow. And so we have these expressions in our culture that says, give from your heart, right? You see something on TV, you see something on social media, and you think, oh man, these people are in trouble, these people are really suffering, I need to do something. And you give out of the emotion of the moment. And there's nothing wrong with that, but the problem is we do it with our purchases too. We do it with the stuff we buy. Because culture tells us wherever you set your heart on, there your spending will go. You see something, you want it. You see your friends have stuff and you think, I need that too. And it kind of works like that, doesn't it? You see something and you think you want it, and you start researching it, maybe, I don't know, a car or a watch or whatever. And soon you see this car driving everywhere. Before, you never noticed it. Now you're researching it. All of a sudden, you see it everywhere. Pops up in your timeline, on your social media. And you start imagining having it, how your life will be better. Or how your life will be worse if you don't get it. A few years ago, I thought I needed a hobby. And I did. Right, I needed a way to unwind after work, to get my mind in a different place. And I thought, you know, buying a kayak would do that for me, right? I could go out on the water, spend some time on the water, get my mind in a different place, explore new places. And my heart was with this kayak. I started researching it, started looking online, and my heart was there. And sure enough, I found one online on Marktplaats. And I bought it. And of course, then I needed all the gear that went with it, right? So I needed to buy clothes and all the gadgets and whatnot. And I stored it in Aalsmeer, close by here. And I pay a yearly fee to have it stored. And then my spending was following my heart. Now, Jesus comes along with his teaching, and he says, culture teaches you your money, your treasure follows your heart. But I say, it's the other way around. Your heart follows your treasure. Your heart follows your spending. Wherever your money is, that's where your heart will be. You know, the culture around us, the way to think about money is a happiness trap. And Jesus offers an escape here. The happiness trap is your heart is always in the lead. And your heart is always like, see this, you want to have that, see that, see that. Look at this. And the trap is that as soon as you have it, they'll release a new model. They'll release an update. And you want that thing, right? It's the happiness trap, an endless pursuit for more and better. And so for the first year, I took my kayak out often, right? I really liked it. It was nice. It got my head in a different space, just being out on the water. Second year, I found less time to take it out. Third year, even less. It's not that I don't like it, I actually do. It's just, to be honest, the dream of exploring places, the thing that I really like, it really didn't work out. You know, it's quite difficult to get that thing on the roof of your car by yourself, and it takes time. And so in reality, all I was doing is I was taking it out in the place where it was stored. And it's nice, but the exploring bit, the thing I really liked, wasn't there. And so I went less and less and went on to the next thing. My money followed my heart. But Jesus shows us the path to contentment, which is the opposite. You flip the two. You decide where your money is going. And your heart will follow your spending. Jesus is saying where your spending is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Don't make your heart take the lead. Make it follow. And so the question becomes, where are you spending? And we're quickly tempted to explain this away, right? To not really engage with this text because, and to quickly decide for ourselves that we're fine. Kind of like the rich young ruler last week, right? He kept all the commandments. He was a good man. He was respectable. He was decent. He gave 10% of all he owned. But when he started looking in his heart, he was in trouble. It became very difficult. And we should be looking at our hearts very intently, not brushing this off. And a good way to find out where your heart is at is to look at where your treasure is. Now, we talked about how society teaches us that how we spend and what we have and what we own determines who we are, determines our identity, determines our value. We care about what people think. And Jesus says, we're not of this world. Your worth is not determined by what you own. Your worth is determined by the person who bought you with his own life. His life in exchange for yours. You are mine. You are a child of God, Jesus says. God sees us as his children. And so our spending should reveal who we are. If we are children of God, our spending will show that we belong to God. Our spending will cause the kingdom of God to extend. Right? Bring blessing to those who are the recipients of our gifts. Our giving will be kind of a signpost for the age to come. It will be a witness. So when you look at your bank statements of last year, it should reveal that you are a child of God. If someone else were to look at your bank statements, they should see that you're a child of God. That you're really laying up treasures in heaven. If money talks, it should communicate with children of God. And so Jesus says here, there's a better way than storing treasures up on earth. There's a better way than just accumulating. A better way than always wanting a bit more and a bit better. And to show others that you're doing well. You can send it ahead, he says. You can pay it forward. Because the harsh truth is that we can't take it with us, right? We can't hold on to things. Everything breaks down. Everything degrades, and eventually it all ends up in the junkyard, right? Think about it. The junkyard is full of stuff, with things that were once somebody's prized purchase. Full of stuff that somebody really wanted to have at the time. That's the destination of everything we own, the junkyard. And then one day we'll die, each and every one of us. And we need to leave it all behind. We can't take it with us. But Jesus says there's a way to send it ahead. And he makes these promises that when we redirect our spending, we'll lay up treasures in heaven. And I'm not exactly sure what that means. But one thing I know, the way we spend money, if we spend it well, if we redirect it to God's kingdom purposes, it will have eternal value. We're storing up treasure in heaven. Now, that's an interesting statement, right? There's some assumptions there. First of all, there is a life to come. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." We believe there's a better life to come. A life where we'll be with Jesus, where we'll see him face to face. And that life to come should influence how we live now. This life is just short, especially compared to the life to come. Compared to the life to come, this life is just like a tiny, tiny little dot on a piece of paper. And the life to come is like a line on that paper that keeps on going and going and going and going. No end to it. Not only that, the life to come is qualitatively better. Where everything here degrades and rusts and breaks down, get eaten by moths or stolen or whatever, and we all eventually die, there things will not degrade, Jesus says. There will be no moth, no rust, no ending, no death, a great place to store treasure. So Jesus says, be a futurist, right? Live with eternal life in mind. We're just pilgrims on this planet, passing through. This place is not our home. The age to come is. Heaven is. Earth is not our home. Heaven is. We should always live with the kingdom of God in mind, with our future in mind, and it will influence how we spend now. A few weeks ago, I joined my wife, Manya, on a trip to Iraq. Manya goes twice a year to a refugee camp in Iraq, Baraka camp, to help in the medical team. And we sponsored a child in that camp, Dilber. She's a 10-year-old girl. She's got two sisters and a brother. And we were able to meet her. And it was such an humbling experience to meet her and her family. They're really poor. And we could really see how our sponsorship made a difference in their lives. And it was so fun to see that. We brought some gifts for her and her brothers and her sisters. The joy in their faces. Not for a moment did we regret sponsoring her. In fact, we started asking ourselves, right? What about her sister? What about her brothers? And so as I was preparing for this sermon, I was convicted. I have this kayak and I only use it a few times a year. It's a luxury. These people have hardly anything. If I sell my kayak, I could probably support another child for a year or maybe two. And I could still rent a kayak a few times a year. Did I really invest my money the smartest way in the kingdom of God? Or did I store up treasures on earth? Now, there's nothing wrong with having a hobby. There's nothing wrong with spending money on a hobby. But in my case, just having money sitting there, collecting dust, even paying a yearly fee to have it sitting there, I think there's a better way. And I need to sell it and give it away. And that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to sell my kayak. And it gives me joy, right? My heart is following my spending. I will never regret giving it away. In fact, I've never regret giving anything away. I've never regretted giving stuff away. I've regretted a whole bunch of purchases, but never giving money away. It gives me joy that by selling my kayak, my money is put to better use to care for the fatherless. Now, I'm not telling you to show how good of a guy I am. I just want to be real for you how this can work out. Where do I store my treasure? How do I manage God's money? To serve me or to serve God's kingdom? And we need to be very intentional about this. Our heart will follow where our spending is. Don't let your heart take the lead. Make it follow. God tells us we're not the owners of all the stuff we have. We're just managers. God's the owner, we're the managers. Think about it. If God is the owner, how would he like you to spend his money? How would he like you to invest his money? So how do we break the cycle? Well, we're redirecting our spending. And we'll lay up treasures on earth, on heaven. But that's not the only promise. Let's read on. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? The pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, he's not talking to some middle-class, affluent Western people here. Most of these crowd are day laborers. There might be some rich people, but most of them are day laborers. They live from hand to mouth. People who don't have much to store anyway. And yet he tells them, as well as the rich, don't worry about tomorrow. These people didn't even know if they would have work tomorrow, if they would have food tomorrow. And Jesus tells them, don't worry about your everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink, or enough clothes to wear. Our problem in the West is that we're actually fueling this self-storage industry, right? We have so many clothes, we need extra closets. We have stuff in storage, stuff that we can't possibly use. And he's looking at people who have one cloak, maybe two if they're wealthy. And he goes, you don't need to worry about that. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? He says, look at the birds. They didn't plant, they didn't harvest, they didn't store, and yet God cares for them. He feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they? And can worry add a single moment to your life? Quite the opposite, right? Our worries, our anxieties take hours of our life. And he goes, why worry about clothing? Why worry? Look at the lilies. They don't make their own clothing. Yet Solomon, the richest king in all of the Old Testament, wasn't clothed like them. If God so wonderfully cares for the wildflowers, will he not care for you? You of little faith. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things. Your heavenly Father already knows your needs. And then some of you are sitting here and you're struggling. And God says, I know. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, he says. You have nothing to worry about. Now, that's great. Those are nice words. You can probably Instagram that. But what do you practically do? Well, you put your money where you want your heart to be. You first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all this will be given to you. What a promise. Not only eternal promises, but also promises for the now. Jesus says, if you decide to put the kingdom of God first, it will show in your finances. And God says, when you do, when it does, you enter a whole new ballgame, right? There are different laws that apply in my kingdom. God says, I will take care of you when you trust me. When you trust me also with your finances, I will bless you. And Jesus says, you don't need to worry about any of the other stuff. I know you need them. Trust me. In the story last week of the rich young ruler, the disciples eventually came to Jesus and said, what about us? We've given up everything to follow you. And Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this life. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, along with persecution, in the age to come, eternal life. It might be scary to trust Jesus with our wealth, with our money, but Jesus says, trust me, I'll take care of you. And I'm sure that the many generous people sitting here have learned this lesson. They can tell you stories about how God blessed them in ways you can't even imagine when they started redirecting their money. And I challenge you, after the service, talk to each other over the coffee. Ask each other, do you have experience with this redirecting of your money and how God blesses you and what happened? And you'll hear amazing stories, I'm sure about it. God will take care of you, he promised. Just put his kingdom first and his righteousness. Be intentional about your spending. Don't follow your heart and your desires, but decide where you want your heart to be. And your heart will follow, trust me. One more text. In Malachi, God challenges the people of Israel to test him. The people were living in a way that kind of took care of themselves. And God says, you're robbing me. Let's read it. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Test me, God says. I've entrusted all these things to you. Entrusted, not given. You're not the owner, you're the manager. Now I want you to invest it in my kingdom. To be intentional about it. So God says, there are all these promises when you redirect your spending and you can test me in it. So last week we looked at how to examine your heart, right? How to spend time with Jesus and to see if there's anything more important in your life than Jesus, than God. To ask Jesus to talk to you, to see if your heart is in the right place. And this week we looked at them, how to make sure that your heart can be redirected. And that we need to be intentional about our spending, because our heart follows our spending. And that God will bless that. But in order to redirect our spending, we need a plan. And that's what we'll look at next week. We are most like God when we give. When God is the most generous being. We can't outgive God. For God so loved the world that he gave. Gaze upon Christ long enough, you become more of a giver. So don't break the gaze. Keep looking Jesus in the eye. Keep seeing the love he has for you in his eyes. Remain in his presence. And then give long enough, and you become more like Christ. Because your heart will follow your giving. And you start storing up treasures in heaven. Trust me, Jesus says. Now, today is Communion Sunday. What a great opportunity to spend some time with Jesus, to ask him to show us our hearts, to ask him to create in us a generous heart, a heart like his, to kind of recommit to being a disciple in all areas of our lives, including our finances. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.